So real quick, you listen to the episode. I want you to reach to the nearest tape measure and pull it out. That's right. This is Sawdust Nation Podcast, episode 102. Josh from North Country Woodworking 102. Talking. Oh, wow. Yeah. 202.
He's behind the time, folks. He's focused on
you time
more like
back to the
past. It feels like that. It was only yesterday was 102. Anyway, well, you know, you're in 100 so long. Anywho, I'm Josh from North Country Woodworking, and we have
Nat from Nat's Naughty Works LLC,
Tim from Gears and Fire,
and my favorite friend Buffalo Trace. I mean, what? Not sponsored.
If you can, pour a glass. If you can't, that's okay. We'll have a little sip for you. Anywho, we got an episode for you. Everyone has their drinks ready, clearing off our benches of sawdust, and talking about sawdust, Tim. What are you doing in your shop?
What are I doing? It seems like I'm doing everything to support the making of repeatable cribbage boards and not other projects. I have three other projects in the queue, and I'm still hammering away at like making these guys more repeatable. But that's okay. Because like I said, I keep getting orders, so obviously I'm doing something right.
You're dialed in, man.
It's real close. So one thing that I kind of had to go back to my original career when I was working at a production welding facility is the whole concept of fixtures. And I'm not talking like just a board with a clamp on it. I'm talking about repeatable, same location every time fixtures. So when I am setting these guys up, I know that, you know, the stock wood is supposed to be X long by X wide. But I need to put them in something other than just stop blocks. So what I created was basically what I call a fixture plate. And it's basically, since I know that my spoil board isn't as even as it needs to be, I just created, I bolted a plate to it. And then I machined two pockets into it that tells me that those two pockets are flat in relation to the gantry. So I know that every single time that I put these in there, every time I clamp it down, it's always going to be the same X, the same Y, and the same Z when I zero it out. And that has absolutely created a ton of value for me because my cuts look a lot better. Even like I said, the quality after the fact, everything is just better. It's more accurate. And I'm kind of kicking myself for not doing it sooner. You know what I mean? But I remember the first six boards that I did. Remember I was kind of complaining about how I was getting fuzz inside the V-bit?
Yeah.
Tool pass. I have a feeling that like the guy that sold me hard maple wasn't hard maple because even I don't know what was going on because this time I used ash and it cut beautifully. Like I'm not getting the fuzz at all. So I have a feeling like that V-bit is not really meant for doing this type of work on soft woods, I guess. I don't know. I guess I'm still waiting for feedback from YouTube about like feed and speed and depth of cut regarding
the downtown
Jenny. But like I said, I'm getting a little closer because this looks better. You know what I mean? Like it's overall, I mean, the lines are thicker. It's more steady, but I don't know. It does. Yeah, it does. But in the spirit of continuing evolution of perfection, I'm still going to keep trying new things. But so I do batches of these at six at a time. So the next six that I do, I'm probably just going to tweak just a few minor things, but only one or two at a time. But yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about myself. And so in addition to these guys, I have another one of the round ones that I'm working on for Ed because he was one of the winners in our 200th giveaway. So I got the slab for that guy all blocked up right now, and I'm about to start doing some cuts after we get off this here podcast. Pretty excited about that. It's a beautiful slab. Actually, I could probably show you the slab. It's another chunk of silver maple.
Oh, did Ed get with you with that?
Yep. He sent me a graphic. So it's this guy right there that it's coming out of. It's got some really cool figure in that guy. But I'm pretty excited because, like, I mean, every time I do those large round ones, it kind of, it's another chance for me to kind of perfect the operation. Me and too. This time around too, and this time around too, it's like, it's going to be another repeatable product, like my folding cribbage board. So, yeah, so I can kind of add into the quick and dirty, as I call it. So, like, the products that I can spit out quickly, not necessarily like a full-on furniture project, right? So this is just like the repeatable product facet of Gears and Fire. Building that up little by little, as much as I can, anyway. I don't know if you guys have anything like that, like the super repeatable stuff.
I wish.
I mean, I do, kind of. Like, I have a friend of mine that's in PA station in Pennsylvania. And I made a crack deal with him, basically, for really cheap plaques. And he'll send me the design and layout. The only thing I do is put it on a pre-made design, cut it on the CNC, and then laser engrave it. I literally do nothing other than copy and paste information, and it's a plaque I can knock out fairly quickly. I can, you know, send it the same day type deal. And, you know, once in a while he reaches out, I do it again. And it's just, he gets, you know, a good looking plaque fairly cheap. And, you know, I get to knock out a quick plaque and get some cash. But I don't know if that's exactly what you're doing. It's I wouldn't say it's on the same level. But it's there.
I think it's, in a sense, it's the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, it's, like I said, it's the base product that you're repeating. But, like, for the example, like, if I ever want to put, you know, like, the customer's business name on the end of this, that's, like, the custom part of it, right?
Yeah.
But it's the stuff that's not, the stuff that's not custom, the stuff that you can churn out quickly, that's more or less what I'm looking at. I guess I'm kind of curious, like, what other people are doing along those same lines. But I tell you what, if I had a laser, I would be burning the filigree in and I wouldn't be using the CNC because this, just like picking off the aura mask is an absolute pain.
Even if you just go get a diode to get you going and having that operate separately, that would still get you somewhere. You know what I'm saying? You don't. Okay. We'll get right back into your thing, but I'll make this caveat because I think sometimes we all forget we don't need the biggest, baddest thing out there. We don't need the, you know, best equipment. Sometimes we have to start at a lower level.
But he didn't mean a nap. He didn't need a nap.
I'll put nap on mute so he can cry this out.
When you have all the FU money in the world, you know, you just buy what you want, and, you know, and you might use it.
I'm sure we all know someone like that, but.
But that's to that point, us. Though, I don't know. I don't know if you guys have seen. oh, he's there. right now, woodpeckers. You know the little woodpecker, or whatever. Like normally, it's like $1,000. Right now, it's on sale for like 30% off. It's like $700. That is a screaming deal.
That still takes a part of my soul, regardless.
Hey, you know what? I can't throw down for a big ass freaking, you know, fancy pants laser like you boys can. So
First of all, my laser is far from fancy, sir. Mine is 100% grade A chinesium. Okay.
Hey, I took a
loan out. I did a firm or one of those when I bought it, and I did, firm, yeah, I made payments on it. So I did not buy that straight out.
I'm considering it, but like honestly, you know, the fancy pants laser. Let's put it this way. If it takes up a footprint on the floor, it's a fancy pants laser. If you can put it in a cabinet, it's not a fancy pants laser.
Well, definitely look at, I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, we used to be sponsored by them. And it's not, you know, we're not sponsored anymore. Not for anything bad or anything. We just couldn't reach out or whatever the case may be. But JTEC has great dial lasers. Like, especially he's got that 44-watt now.
See, I have nothing against JTEC, but like something that ties up your machine, that's
okay. Yes, I see your point there.
Yeah.
But in Tim's case, okay, if he batches out a bunch of those boards, right, then he can go and then he can switch his operation. You know, so he can cut 10 boards and then go 10 laser boards. And while the boards are lasering, he can clean up his shop. He can do something else in there, whatever. While he's waiting. and run it that way. That's how I do it anyways, how I did it, I should say, when I have my diode.
No, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying that's how I think, because I could continue carving whatever and then have the laser going nonstop. I mean, either way you do it, you still achieve similar results. But I don't know, man. If I were in your shoes and I was looking to buy a big laser later on, get that small one in the meantime. I mean, like, people are selling them all the time. I would look for someone that just bought like Omtec or whatever and they had a diode laser, and then I'd be like, hey,
actually,
give me $100.
I sold mine for like that. My old one, I sold it to a gentleman getting into woodworking that wanted a laser. I had it for years. I said, hey, you're going to probably have to replace the diode at some point in time, but it still works. $100 is yours. I'll show you how it works. You buy a light burner and I'll show you how to operate. Guy, as far as I know, is running the same thing to this day.
Right. But I tell you what I wish I had for this, though, was the ATC from PWNCNC, because like I'm looking at 4 bits that is required to get these.
Oh, wow. 4?
Yep. So V-bit drill, quarter inch up and quarter inch down.
The 4-bit theory?
The 4-bit theory, I love it.
I still have to take it out of the fixture, flip it, and then start the next tool path. But even then, if I could reduce everything down to just 2 tool paths, why not, right? I wouldn't have to zero it.
You're right. Absolutely.
Ducky loves my mood lighting. He likes my RGB I got going on. I'm in my room, or I call it the gaming room now. It's my office, but
nerd.
Dude, I'm gonna tell you something. You know what? I'll tell you something.
He's in his fungin. Leave him alone.
I got my fungin. I got my East Wing hammer.
I like the cold.
I'll tell
steel.
You why this is in here as well.
Were you pounding something?
Actually, I was, but it was more of a tapping, not a swinging. I had to use left-handed anger on it. So.
Okay, sorry, Tim. So we're going down a rabbit hole.
Just like, I was just wondering if the hammer's for like calibration encouragement.
it's concussive maintenance, sir, or percussive maintenance.
It depends where you're from. It depends on what you're doing.
I mean, concussive maintenance, percussive maintenance. Man,
it's funny you say that. My first base, I was a maintainer, right? So I worked on AWACS, and they gave me a nice, you know, like AWACS, you know, miniature. But on the plaque, it says, grab a crowbar, I think it was, and a rag and call it good. Because, like, I just grabbed random tools because I knew, like, what was wrong half the time. So I just grabbed the one tool and a rag, go out there and fix it. And, like, I was known for grabbing that one tool and being able to do that. So, I mean, you having the hammer in there just kind of had a flashback.
It's a good file.
It fixes about 85% of my problems.
Yeah.
It's, like I said, I mean, it's also good for measuring. If you need to, like, move your piece over just a scooch to take a little bit off the top, I don't move it. I find something solid and I tap it over until it is accurate.
Ducky, it is just pure Buffalo Trace bourbon, my friend.
Just going straight to the source.
Yeah, I drink my bourbon straight most of the time, unless I'm feeling extra and I want to throw a dash of Coke, but I won't do it to Buffalo Trace. But anyways, but yeah, that's good, Tim. So you're going to get a diode when?
next week, maybe. I don't know. I'm kidding.
But, well, if you get a diode, let me know, because you know, I used to have the exact machine you have, and I have set up a diode laser on it. So if you do, I can help you.
Okay. Because, like, honestly, anything to build capability is something, but I'm still feeding my thermometer to get my Cetus solvers. It's on its way.
Okay.
I'm in the four figure range.
There you go. And honestly, with that being said, like, adding something to make the process a little easier on you is going to make it worth your while.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's, like, I could think of a million tools that would help me do this better. But I also know that my process that I have so far is, I want to say, like 90% proved out.
Yeah, right? You also don't want to, you know, hurt your wallet too bad, because the whole point of doing something like that is to make a profit with what you have currently. But I will say, I have seen you woodworking you know, go from one direction to another and the different things you've done. And I think, you know, I'm not trying to talk you into a laser, but I am. Any type of laser that you get, you're going to do amazing things with. I mean, just look at what you've done with that CNC. Having that little bit of capability, and I say a little bit because I'm underselling it, will definitely help you reach different capabilities. I say capabilities because I've seen you take something and create a process out of nothing. And I don't want to limit you by saying just lasering and engraving.
Like I said, I fully know the capabilities of a good laser. Cause I mean, both of my previous employers, like I was making really, really fancy pants stuff on those, which that only ignites my fire more, right? When you get to use the big boy toys and all of a sudden you go back to an environment when you don't have one, it sucks.
I can imagine.
So it's all in my future. It has to be. I can't not have it.
Well, that's pretty cool, dude.
But I'm going to say a 3D printer is on the works too, but I mean, it's... Which one first, right? I mean, I know that I was looking at that. I noticed that. But, like, I feel like I can make money quicker with a 3D printer just because of what I can do with it. But that's after I get my seat of SolidWorks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, one step at a time.
The theory, anyway.
So, I mean, like, I think all three of us, for the most part, you know, we're at the point, at least I am. I'll speak for myself here. Is like I have the tools I need. You know, are there tools that can make a little life easier? Yeah, sure. Do I need them to make, you know, different stuff? I have enough tools where I'm still learning capability. I mean, like, I think I'm set for a while. Even with the longest big tool I have, the CNC, right? I'm still learning things on that. Different programs have changed different ways I can utilize that. And it's just a program. So, I mean,
that's a good point.
It's amazing. You change one variable in your process or one variable in like your machining, and you have a whole different set of tools in your tool bag. So,
yeah, like I said, I mean, I know that I've hit some walls with equipment, but I can see lots of openings in other spots. In other words, I haven't completely outgrown my shop or stuff just yet.
That engineering aspect of designing / making has always been a big part of woodworking for myself. I know for you too, Tim, and I would even say Nap as well. I know Nap and I talked about this a little bit. For me, and I talked to my father actually this weekend about it. I mean, I love puzzles. And when I say puzzles, I mean like the 3D puzzles that, you know, they have a key you need to get out and whatever. Growing up, my grandfather, what he would do is he'd get these wooden puzzles such as that, and he'd hand it to us. And like being the stubborn fool I am, I would sit there until I get it. And then I'd get it off or get it out and be like, oh, I have to put it back together. And then I figure out how to put it together. And then you do it over and over until basically you mastered it, or to a point where you know it for that day. And then you put it down and maybe come back to it and have to kind of work at it some more. Woodworking has been that outlet for me where I can take a project and basically develop a process or develop a way of creating something. And like I had a project like that this weekend. So I'll get into that a little later. I wanted to, before I turn it over, Tim, you got anything else going in your shop that you want to talk about, Wood?
Other than fixturing, repeating, and cribbage boards, not a ton. I know that as soon as this cribbage board is done, I am ripping Betty apart, new spoil board, undoing connections, and basically wiping everything down, basically giving her a full work over. I've had her for three plus years, and she needs some TLC. That's about it.
A little bit of loving.
Yeah, that's right. Late night oil.
I've got a friend. Her name is Betty.
There you go. What's going on in your shop, Dr. What? Eagle? Yeah, you. Okay. Kidding me? On a hot pocket?
That's a keeper. Anyways, what do I got going on in the shop? I don't even know. Like, I'm getting so old and geriatric
these days. You're the youngest one here. Shut up.
No, so the joke at work is, so because I'm, you know, on the mass sergeant, and the rest of them are not mass sergeants, and they all joke and they go, "Nap, your liver spotted geriatric hands." I'm like, "Leave me alone, all right? There's only one liver spot, okay?"
Working on the others.
But no, so yeah, but no, a lot going on in the shop. It's funny, you know, you see money come in and then you spend more money, and it hurts the soul. Because you know that you need to buy material to make the money, and you know, so, you know, all these things. So you think like, oh yeah, I'm doing great. And then you spend the money, you're like, shit, I'm only making half of that back in profit, which, okay, it's still pretty good, but you know, it's still like, damn, this sucks. But anyways, so I'm making, 22x22, cherry sign with some, acrylic on it. I don't think I'm going to use 3M this time around, though. I think I'm going to use some kind of like acrylic weld or something like that, because I'm going to weld it to the wood. I you know, I don't mind 3M. 3M works great. Okay. But
so certain, you're talking certain like adhesive to glue something to the wood.
To the wood, I'm also sure the stuff that I've been practicing with is it melts the essential acrylic together on the sign.
I mean, I probably still use that, but, I'll do some testing or something, but I'm not painting this acrylic. I actually bought the colors of acrylic this time around, just because I'm not going to lie to you. I don't feel like painting the back acrylic this time around. I just don't. I don't want to. but I found all the colors I needed, and I bought them all. They all just got here today, in fact. I mean, was it a quarter-inch piece of black acrylic? Cut out the outline and then put quarter inch or was it eighth inch pieces in the spaces.
So I got to ask, why don't you want to use the 3M? Is it because of the price? Is it because of what?
Something different, but me and 3M, we fought recently. No, I don't know. I just want to see if there's anything else out there. Like, I'll keep using 3M, you know, like it's not a bad product. Like it does what it's supposed to do. But I can tell you that if I can find something where I can just like spray it or brush it on the back of the acrylic and stick it, to me, that's a little bit faster and takes kind of a step out of my process that I don't necessarily always like doing. And also, by the way, peeling that stuff off of the 3M is a pain in the rear, especially when it's the outline and you're pulling it and there's like little skinny pieces and it rips and you're like, well, now I got to start over. And then also it messes with my OCD because I love to try to peel it off in one piece and it doesn't come off in one piece.
Well, that's not.
I feel like there's a lot to unpack here. I'm going to go get some more to drink. I'm here.
The satisfaction behind pulling off adhesive or like anything in one foul swoop is so satisfying. Like, I don't know if you guys have done this. I've done it just because for
kicks and giggles. When I pull the aura mask off of this,
you know exactly what we're talking about then, Tim.
Ooh.
Oh, look at Lady.
Lady. She can't hear you.
Girl.
I know. She's like, what's going on out there?
Dogs can hear. Right. I guarantee you they can hear that.
But no, so I had a bottle of Type Bond 3, and it was one of the gallon bottles, and it was like 3/4 of the way gone, but there was like a little skin on the inside of it, and I started peeling it. I was like, When I tell you, I broke out the new glue bot to use the rest of the glue just so I could cut that thing open.
I gotta order that.
And Josh says he's got to order something. I have a baby glue bot. The baby glue bot's it's a baby. It's baby glue bot. Maybe mini. I thought it was baby, but it's like the size of this glass. Maybe it's smaller.
The little guy.
And, yeah, the little guy works great for really tight spaces. The trunk, in fact, when I was doing the corner molding, instead of using the big glue bot that leaves this big bead of glue, I was able to use baby glue bot and leave little beads of glue, and I had no seepage. So Josh was like, you have a baby glue bot? I was like, yeah, it's the best thing ever. It's tiny. It like fits in my hand.
Is that the one too big for your hand, man?
Twice and not under...
What, Tim?
I just remember buying the glue bot and using it twice and not understanding the point of it.
Listen, I love deflecting.
I'm deflecting for you, so we can ignore this guy.
I see what you're doing right now, and Josh is a child. But anyways, back to what I was talking about. So, anyways, I peel all the glue off the inside of this Titebond 3 container, and let me tell you, when I say that it's satisfying, I now understand why people make glue videos on Instagram, for as annoying as they may be and how many views and likes they get, but they're very satisfying. Anyways, I digress. So I made that sign. I finally have the acrylic to finish this stupid coin rack that I still have sitting behind. By the way, it's behind me, actually. Over yonder, you can't really see, it's just peering above that box there. Literally just got to cut this out, put Mr. Little Sparky together, I guess what the character's name is or something, and send it on its way. I'm ready to get it out of my house. And then I have three projects that I'm excited to make. One of which is my Mass Sergeant Chevron box. A few episodes ago, well, maybe like 5 or 6. I talked about how I accidentally cut the wrong file for Shadowbox, but instead I went ahead and doubled up on my order, and I went ahead and made, you know, the box for it, essentially, and whoever wanted a Shadowbox next, I already have it, like, halfway made. So someone did buy that, so it's sitting on my top shelf. I need to put it together this weekend. And then I have that Coast Guard Shadowbox that I finally get to start. And then another one that I get to do that I've talked about a little bit, not even really that much, because I wasn't 100% sure if it was a job that was going to stick, to be honest, because I gave him the price, and he really didn't say, like, yes or no. And then we talked about the stuff that he was putting in it. I was like, hey, bring me your stuff. And then he brought me his stuff, and it was like, okay, this guy wants it. So I have a 40-inch by 11-inch piece of stock sitting on my CNC table right now, roughly an inch thick. That is going to be a badge that I'm going to be putting on this the shadow box. There's a lot to unpack, as Josh would say, on this particular project. The only piece of this that I'm a little concerned about is the lights. I'm still figuring out which way I want to go with that. I have an idea. Like, it's just
lights shining from the side or towards the back, something like
From inside of it, yeah.
Okay.
So the lights will be inside to light up the actual inside of the box.
Nice.
I have an idea what I'm going to do. I'm just concerned because I haven't put lights inside of a shadow box before, and I'm not going to do what I've seen some folks do, is just take the sticky stuff off the back and stick it to the wood, because that's just, no offense to anybody who's done that.
Nope.
To me, that
doesn't work.
That's garbaggio to me. You need to actually like put a piece of U-channel in there with a diffuser and stuff like that, and make it look really nice. But more to come on that one. You'll see some Instagram stuff on that. I paused on the Instagram for a minute just because life got busy again. And Instagram's not my life, so there's that. So I got 3 shadow boxes. The Chief's chest went away. He paid me for it, and he loved it. I'm waiting to get pictures of it filled up, which would be cool. I got a couple random jobs. There is one job I got that I don't necessarily want to do because I know who it's for, and I don't necessarily like that person. But then again, money is money, so I'll do it for the dollar. It's just one of those things.
$20 is $20.
Pretty much, it's kind of what it is. But also, the person asking to have it made is, you know, the spouse of one of my friends. So it's like one of those like weird situations where it's like, I don't want to be a dick to you. I don't like this person that you're friends with, but cool, whatever. Anyways, I did that for it again, but. Yeah, conflict, but I'll do it just because, you know, of my buddy. Then I got 2 more going aways that I have to have done by Friday. I got hit with them yesterday. That's fine. $70 a piece. Easy 140. Call it a day. So that's really it as far as what I'm making. Oh, I have 200 coasters to make, too. I'm not looking forward to that shit.
200 coasters. But, I remember you saying that most of that's laser work, though, isn't it?
Yep, but it's going to be the milling the 200 4x4 quarter inch thick coasters. and then because I'm not basic, I'm going to put a small round over on all the edges.
Holy mother of God.
Why do you hate
what, yourself? Josh?
Top and bottom round over?
What's that, Tim?
Top and like round over on top and bottom?
I'm debating.
Anyway, it's 204 little circles or 408?
Well,
right, you said 204
codes. It's actually 800 sides, sir. And if I do both, it's 1600 sides. So I'm pretty excited.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I hate myself.
Clearly.
So I got that, but that's due by May 17th. I'll start that next week. I'll probably do like 20 a day or something like that, just to break it down. It's a lot more manageable when you can do something, you know, like that. As long as I start by the 7th.
And toward the end, he's going to be like,
drink.
I waited till the last minute, had to do all of them at the same time.
Absolutely effing not. I'm trying to get these done in, just so I don't have to look at them. I'm probably going to be doing the induction ceremony awards again this year for the senior NCO stuff. So that's roughly another good chunk job. I want to do it, but I ain't going to lie to you guys. Some of that production stuff just bothers me. It's annoying. But either way, anyways, I'm doing other stuff in the shop, doing some video stuff for PW and CNC, also learning how to rebuild spindles and things like that. I am able to take a spindle apart in roughly 10 minutes now. It's not hard at all.
Blindfolded?
Honestly, if I didn't have to heat the collar on the bottom one, and I didn't have to use a pair of, I call the Big Bertha channel locks, I probably could do it blindfolded, but no, nice. Not blindfolded. I'm working on how to keep a spindle from screaming on startup. So it, and it's not a squeak, it's a scream. Like it sounds like an F-15's taken off in my shop when I started it. I was like, there's something wrong with that. That's not right. So I got to retake this other one apart because I put the new bearings in. I don't think I greased them properly, so I think that might be part of the reason why there's noise. So I'll find out here probably this weekend when I rip into another one. But I'll show that. That's all I got going in the shop. I talked a lot. I'm testy. So Josh, buddy, you've made some cool stuff this weekend.
Yeah, I got to get in the workshop, touch some wood. You know, work it. So yeah, I got in the shop this weekend and had to knock out some projects. I got to ship those out. That's the current reason why I'm not going to lie. So let's hit on this first. Anyone that wanted mallet, I plan on shipping your mallet out. I haven't got to it because I need to buy boxes and I just have to do the labels and get those out to you. So thank you for being patient. Second is before I get into all the crazy stuff in the shop, I have a pyramid over here. It's a pyramid that turns.
It's so pretty.
She spins around.
Hey, Josh. Shazam. How would you say you made that do that?
So, Nap was my sounding board for this because I was essentially trying to come up with a wood feature way to go ahead and create this spinning action that you see behind me. I went from using a dowel on the bottom piece and a little bit of, you know, lube and give it some spinning action to maybe a dowel through all the pieces in the top and the bottom and just be like a pole in the center and spin around the pole. He suggested a bearing, but unfortunately I know I have bearings somewhere. Well, I just don't know where those are. So this took probably longer than it should have because like the main item was basically done, you know, within 4 hours or so. Cause I cut out all the pieces. I cut all the pieces on the CNC. Yes, that's a little bit lazy, but it worked really well cause I was able to do the coin slots at the same time. And then I actually 3D printed Wonder Woman on my resin printer cause that's the best detailed. And then I spray painted this with, like a bronze. And, like, it came out, it looks like metal. Like, my son came down and goes, how'd you make metal? And I'm like, bingo, I win. You know, when a child is telling you that it looks like metal, you know it's...
Resin printers are awesome.
It's a mighty fine, it's a mighty fine detail in it.
And she does go right round, baby, right round.
So, yes.
Literally.
So, yeah, you know, we're racking our brains on how we're going to spin this. And we were talking about different ways he's done it and, you know, the ways I could do it. And then I just had a thought. I sat down after being in the shop all day. I'm like, maybe there's another way. I went to Home Depot and I picked up, it's not a turntable. What's it called? Lazy Susan Hardware. And I went and I carved a little relief in there to narrow the gap because it's like a 5/16 gap. So I got it down to probably like less than a quarter inch, probably a little bit less. And then, yeah, definitely less than a quarter inch. But long story short, and then, installed it, epoxied, glued it down so I can go ahead and get everything nice and secure. And now it spins around just fine. I have basically everything glued together. But the reason why I haven't sent it out is because I'm terrified that this top piece right here is going to break off during shipping. Because the rest of the piece is pretty solid. So this is what I have so far. I'm going to use 3M. I'm going to cut a circle and have it underneath that piece. I'm going to ship it so that the Wonder Woman piece is in a small box. And then this is in a bigger box and they're packaged together. They get it. They peel it. They stick it. Bada bing, bada boom. Guess what? They have their piece. What I don't like is, like, I think 3M is a maker secret. Like, a lot of people don't realize that we have essentially a sticker that will adhere to wood and make things really cool. I wish there was a better way, but
it's like, how big is the bottom of Wonder Woman? How big is Wonder Woman's bottom? Is there enough to stuff a quarter inch dowel?
It's hollow on the side, and I thought about that as well. But when I glued.
I did that on purpose for Nap. He's checked out. Continue.
And pin nailed the pieces together. That way, the pin nails was holding it. That way, I can go manipulate it. And where I pin nailed the top piece down is where she's going to sit. So if I drill anything, it's going to go right through those pin nails. And it's just poor last minute design feature. Anyway, oh, okay. The 3M will work just fine. It's just one of those things where, like, I don't want to have them feel cheated or feel like it's cheap by sticking that on.
Hey, there's some assembly required. It's all right. It's not like they're going to be moving it around a ton other than spinning it.
I have to engrave like one little name on the top, and then they'll be able to align it. I'll make an X, like the whole nine yards. I'll make it as simple as possible.
Just let them know. Like that, and then honestly, and this is another secret for your stuff there, Josh. So 3M works really well. We all know it does. But, you know, it is an adhesive sticker. So what I do for stuff like that, I'll actually take the 3M, throw it on my laser, cut my circle, cut a small circle in the center, stick it, and you send a small tube of super glue. So what they'll do is they'll peel it, glue the center where there's no stick, stick it down, and that it's never coming up. Unless you, like, take a hammer to it, which I hope that would.
And that should be a fine fix for it. Made a plaque, too, that's due in June. Obviously, did some acrylic work with that. So I'll be sending that out with all the mallets and everything here. My plan was to do it when I'm editing the podcast after we record here. But we'll see how that works out. I'm pretty tired. But yeah, so I got this stuff knocked out. I still have the two big projects that are in the shop, which is the clock and a shadow box. I opened the box for the shadow box and they gave me too much stuff. Well, let me rephrase that. They gave me a full-size flag, which I was not thinking they were going to give me, a certificate for the flag, which I didn't know about, and then they gave me a couple other details I wasn't aware of. So I'm going to have to figure that out. The shadow box I've been putting off because of the epoxy. I don't want to mess that up. So
epoxy?
Not the shadow box, but the clock. The clock. I've been putting that off because of the epoxy.
Oh.
But I should be able to get to those hopefully this weekend and at least get done with the shadow box and start the epoxy. I'm pretty square up when it comes to my orders. I have inquiries, but that leads me to kind of like not big news, I guess. So I know I've talked about it, kind of hinted at it before, but I am moving the shop to probably 90% on hand stuff that I make and then sell. And then 10% custom. Plaques always would be that custom part. I can knock out a plaque pretty fairly easy, even the design work. A little bit of the shadow box. Is that going to be that? I'm guessing shadow boxes is going to be that like 10% because people like getting creative with those. Or maybe a chest or something like that. But I'm thinking over my head. My life has gotten a little bit busier than I really thought it would be. Moving and a couple different things. And I want to kind of ensure I have enough work-life balance between work, job life, and, you know, private. And this way I can honestly do things. I can just be like, hey, you know what? I want to make, this is just me spitballing, a Star Wars sign. And I can put that up for sale and see how that sells. Or I can be like, I really want to try this, but I never had a project I could try it with. I'm going to go ahead and try this and see if that sells. So I'm going to have a whole bunch of products and not be able to sell them. But, you know, I'm going to try.
That's, I feel that. I'm sitting on like a dozen.
So I will be doing shadow boxes. I'll probably do a couple of Master Sergeant, the same ones I use. I make a lot of those anyway. So I'll have those sitting waiting. And then I'll have a couple of generic ones where, like, if you know, if you've ever seen the Air Force Chevron for enlisted, for like a senior enlisted, I'll have the outline of that. So I could literally go from a chief to a master and it would be the same thing. And I'll probably do something for like the NCO, a couple, you know, for that way that you can't really tell it's in the shape of, and then I can kind of hand that out. Generic stuff where I can kind of multi-purpose it. You know, coin racks. I thought this was going to be pretty tough, but I think I'm just going to add that up there too, because I have the files. I know how to do it. I can, as long as I got the width board, I can knock it out fairly fast. So I think that's going to be the smartest move for me now. Now, would that be forever? No, I definitely would like to get back in the custom stuff a little bit, you know, down the road. But until things settle down, I think it's the best way moving forward for myself. Gets me making, because I know when I have time, I can go make. I'm not worried about certain things. And then I don't have due dates. You know what I'm saying? I have what I have and that's it. So, and then I can have that 10% being the creative side and not be pressured on the date. Because I'm not going to lie, due dates stress me out. Like, they're always in the back of my mind, and I could be like sitting here talking and I know I have due dates and I have to meet those. So I don't want to have too many of those, so I can, you know, have my attention to my kids and my work and all the stuff where it should be, essentially. I'm doing a little bit more Air Force stuff that I have in the past. I don't really have a good reason for it other than, like, you know, I kind of reevaluated where I was at and kind of want to do more. And that's taken up some time as well. So, I'm just kind of getting after it in all different aspects. That's one of the reasons why, if you follow me on Instagram, I probably haven't posted, I don't even know how long now. I have pictures and reels I have made. I just haven't posted them. I'm just not feeling it at the moment. And I always told myself, and Nap and I have talked about this, and I think even Tim and I, it's not imperative. I'm hoping that you continue to follow my journey and whatnot. And I will post again when I get into that rhythm.
I like what you post because it's meaningful stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it's not these people that, you know, like, do these weird glue peeling or whatever. I don't know.
No, it's just one of those things where I've kind of hit at this before. I like to be more informative in my Instagram postings. And, like, I don't mind showing, like, you know, fancy ways of showing an end product or the process of. Those are fun too, but I think there should be a little bit of a balance. And if I'm going to do justice to that, I need to take time to, you know, rework how I want to go ahead and reach out to people. So, yeah, it's a little bit different, you know, than the past how many years we've been doing this for. But sometimes change is good, and sometimes it's healthy, and sometimes it's the best way moving forward, because you can't stay the same way and expect to grow. You have to challenge yourself.
Now you get complacent.
And custom pieces, you don't necessarily get complacent, but it's a lot of time. It's a lot of time. It's a time suck. Like, honestly, like, I could design things very fast, but, like, sometimes you suck yourself out. Like, this piece back here, like, I didn't know how I was going to build that. I knew I could in some way, in theory. But once I got it down and got the file, I'm like, oh, wait, that's pretty easy.
Yeah, I mean, you figured out a cool way to execute that, too, like using Lazy Susan hardware. That's awesome.
I use Nap as a sounding board and Tim as well, because like for me, I know that I might have a good idea, or the good idea fairy, as they sometimes say. But sometimes having that, you know, sounding board essentially allows you to be like, that's not a good idea. That's going to fail. There's that. I actually bought two Lazy Susan pieces of hardware so I can make another one of those.
I was going to ask you, how much is like a Lazy Susan hardware
kit? $5.
Okay.
6x6 inch piece that holds 400 pounds. And yeah, like I didn't expect the 400 pounds. Yeah,
over engineered much.
So
but we do that.
No, over engineering is undervalued. You know what? You did great.
What they had, but anyway, yeah, it worked out well. I'm pretty proud of it. It's the maples is just beautiful on there. So when the light hits it just right, it shines.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty proud of that project. I'm really proud of the 3D print because, like, you know how it is. Like you find a print and you're like, oh, this is going to turn out great. And it's, I went and I printed it and it just, there was no issues with it. I didn't have to modify it. I just clipped the supports. It dried, it was hardened. I was able to paint it fairly quickly. I bought some pretty good spray paint and it looks like a bronze statue. So
sometimes it may be
good.
Yeah, exactly. You're not wrong. So, yeah, it was nice to get in the shop. It's nice to get things done. I kind of was in there and I was thinking about how I want to move forward with everything. I didn't come to those decisions lightly. It was one of those things where I like the custom pieces. Like I said, I like puzzles, but now I can start creating the kind of puzzles I want to create too. And like really determining and kind of doing what Tim's doing, just in a different way of, you know, kind of narrowing. I'll know what supplies I need. I'll know, you know, what I can get, and kind of really taking the business in that direction, allow myself a little more time when I want it.
So here's a question for you, and this is somewhere between production and custom. So we are going through all of our kids, or we will be going through all of our kids' board games and stuff like that. A lot of the board games are missing pieces and parts. Things are falling apart, you know, that type of thing. So that got me thinking, like, I'm making these Cribbage Boards to sell at a game store. Like, can I make, like, a custom wooden Sari kit that, obviously, I can't sell it under the Sari name, right? You know, trademarks and all that stuff. But could I sell, like, you know what?
Call it apologetic. Call it
a common game piece kit.
So sorry, apologetic.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I like that. I'm gonna run with that. I'll give full credit to you. But I mean, like, there's so many games that have like lots of really cool pieces and parts. Like, how could I effectively make game kits that could be sold without like tripping those things? And so, like, in kind of thinking through this process, like, I was immediately drawn to the Mousetrap game back in the day. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys remember the Mousetrap. Have you guys had it, played it? So back in the day when I was a kid, like, that game was actually legit. So, like, you go buy Mousetrap from, legit. Like...
What are you talking about?
No. I'm talking, like, the quality of the game, the pieces and stuff like that. Like, it is crap. Like, they figured out exactly how to take out every nickel and dime out of that game just to mass produce what it is now. See, back in the day, all those pieces were legit. Like, it actually functioned. Well, for me, it did because, well, that's who I am. But so how do I make a better mousetrap? I can't believe I'm actually asking that question. Like, how do I make a better mousetrap? But like all these games are trying to think of different ways. Like, how could I quickly do something like that? So I'm just kind of wondering, like, is that something you guys ever thought about? Like, other than like making a wooden box for the game, right? Because every game box gets absolutely destroyed. But like beyond that, like, would you guys even consider doing that?
Maybe not necessarily that, but something around in the same realm. Maybe not like games in general, because the only kind of games I've seen people really want to think of like special for, and this is like no shot at like the nerds of the world, but like D&D type stuff. Like I've seen that. No, I mean, so like yeah, you got Monopoly, but they already kind of come with really cool metal pieces, you know? So I don't think you can. They've actually kept their quality as far as those pieces. They've kept pretty nice there.
Sure.
Maybe like Sari, I don't think I'd want like special pieces for that because it's like so simple.
Maybe that was a bad example.
But Risk would be cool, I think. But the problem with Risk is the pieces are so little. The details, if you're trying to make them like out of wood or something, wouldn't be too great. Now, 3D printing, however, you can mass produce, like, your little infantrymen in Risk. First of all, those really hurt when you step on them. They're like Legos, but worse. But most definitely making those would be cool. Like, but a little more detailed, maybe a little bigger. But no, I haven't really ever thought about making them. Maybe chess pieces. I think that's as far as I'd go. It's probably chess pieces.
So, yes, I've thought about it myself. Just so have a quality board, have a quality, you know, game, right? So, like I was saying, Monopoly, Clue, you know, the classics, the ones that you really enjoy playing. 3D printing would probably be the basis for that. You can do different processes to make them, you know, a little bit more unique. You can design your own pieces. It really depends what you want to do with them and how far you want to go, like any true game. It's
right.
Yeah, it depends on the game.
Because, like, there's a lot of games out there, and not all of them are, like, the super basic, like, Sari and stuff like that. Like, the really complicated ones. There's some really cool
Like,
card holders and piece holders and stuff like that.
Monopoly is one of those games, I think, that people have, like, kind of gone pretty crazy for as far as making, like, a full board
with
the drawers and the money and all that stuff, which I thought was pretty cool.
Oh, sure.
There's I can't think of what the name is called, but it's a process of taking metal and layering it over another piece. You usually put it in a vat, you use electricity to do it. Yeah, I can't think of it. I could see it. I can. It's not ionization.
Is it?
Electrostatic something.
You take it, dip it in this. You take like a metallic 3D printed material.
Electroplating.
Yes.
Okay.
Is cool.
So I've seen people 3D print stuff and electroplate it into metal. And you do like the little metal pieces that you decide to incorporate into a game like that. You could take that and do that process. And now you have those metal pieces. I actually have two versions of Risk. I really like playing Risk, especially when a lot of people get together. I know it's a long game, but I really love that game. And my grandfather gave me the 50th, 75th, 100th, whatever anniversary edition. And they're metal pieces in that game. But then again, I have a Game of Thrones version of Risk that are, you know, pretty hard plastic. They're quality, you know, pieces themselves. But like, there's a difference in those metal pieces. Like when you pick up the, you know, the other edition and play with those, they're hefty. Like, you know, you're playing with some high quality stuff.
Well, some legit stuff. I would
have loved the wax and some Risk. Damn.
Oh. Tim, do you play Risk?
Ages ago. Like, I think I played it twice in my life.
Okay. Maybe we should bring it to Workbench Con and just have, like, yes. Yes, the two.
It's like Settlers of Catan. That was a good one. Like, but there's, like, a lot of, like, easy to make pieces in that.
Yeah. Can shoot some ladders?
No. My kids do.
Apples to apples.
Whoop their butts and shoot some ladders. I never see it coming.
But yeah, I mean, I see where you're going with that, and I absolutely would like to do that myself. Obviously, I don't think we'd ever get paid enough for them, honestly.
Well, that's where the production side comes in. Like, that's the rhetorical question. It's like, is there something like that where you can...
If you lasered the board and you did 3D printing pieces... The money would probably be something similar or the same. And then, like, all the pieces were 3D printed. Yes, you could probably do it. You'd probably get away, you know, making something decent. Have the board be the box. So, like, you have, like, you know, one container and do it that way. Yeah, you could probably get away with doing that. But still, I just, you would have to find the market, the gaming market. So. Like, you play D&D, right, Tim?
Oh, yeah.
Like, okay. Nap, I don't know if you've ever played. I played once before when I was on helicopters. I don't know why that community loves that game. It's kind of weird.
Awesome.
Anyway, yeah. It's just the community that I'm talking about, you wouldn't put the two and two together.
Like, D&D, I'm fine with. Like, I think the idea, if it's really cool, but helicopter? What? Okay.
Yeah, my entire crew was like all about it, and they're like, "You're gonna play," and I'm like, "I don't know how to play." Anyway, I enjoyed it. In fact, I was talking about getting a I don't know what you call it, a group together here. I don't want
you don't nerds want to play.
Yeah, pretty much.
I wear the nerd badge with pride, absolute pride.
But anyway, we're getting into a rabbit hole there. But almost like if you've done it before and have experience, and I think it's called DMing. What's the lead person called?
Yeah, DM. Dungeon Master.
DM. Dungeon Master, yes, the DM. So if you know how to do that and you could spin some great tales and you would work, you could do in 3D print, you could do little kits, like beginner kits, and then send those out.
The dwarves were digging a hole, diggy hole.
But like, I know one of the mods.
Nap is not allowed.
I don't remember the name of the mod, but like in that mod, like you, like the party sort of acquires this building called Troll Skull Manor or something like that. And so I looked this up online, and people are actually making like 3D versions like of this building.
Yeah,
so that they can like move around, and they're like that. Like, and the detail in this is amazing. But to your question,
they're
before,
making ships.
Are they making money on it?
Everything.
Hell no. Unless they turn around and sell that thing for like four figures, it ain't happening.
Gaming tables. You can make gaming tables.
Dude, look up
Wormwood. They sell their gaming tables for like five figures. Like, I mean, these are legit gaming tables.
Well, the guy I know sells them for like 10,000, but. Crema Designs here. He actually makes them and ships them. He actually hand delivers them.
Yep. That's cool. That's awesome. We used to have a guy local here that sold them. But yeah, seriously, look up Wormwood. WYRM Wood. Wormwood game tables or something like that.
But if you know anything about that, like, I don't want to say like the nerd realm because that's kind of not right, but like if you know about like those gaming sessions and whatnot, people pay a lot of money for their stuff. Mm-hmm. They take a lot of pride into, you know, they get really into it. It's almost like they're woodworking. So, I mean, like, that's a great realm to dive into if you're, you know, kind of leading from that game section. Even like you got to be careful with this. Like, even like the Wonder Woman statue, you got to kind of be careful with how that. Oh, yeah.
Like I said, you got to call it something else. That's like super gal.
Super dressed up girl.
There you go.
It's
Gold Woman. Design.
Hey, Victor. But yeah, I mean, like, yeah, there's a ton of things I would like to try to get into and try to make. And I'm hoping that this will open me up a little bit more to being able to do that. And then even doing some of my own furniture. I mean, like, just some things around the house I'd like to knock out and do. And this will give me that time. That took a little longer to explain than I thought, but there's so much we could do. And that's what I like about it. It's like, we can make anything.
Well, anything is subjective, but yes.
No, I honestly think you can make pretty much anything.
Josh, there's make a car.
I don't think I just want everyone to make certain things.
I'll make you a car. It's not going to be running. It'll be a scale model, though.
Right on.
I just let me get the file. I'll throw it on the 3D printer.
There you go.
Zoom, zoom.
That's the right answer.
So, well, gents, if you want to go and put a bow on this, let's go ahead and do that. Starting off with nap.
I'm going
to
take a nap because I'm tired. No,
I'll call you sleepy in a minute.
I ain't gonna lie, guys. I'm a little tired today. Today was very emotionally exhausting for me today. It's just been me, so I've been dealing with everything. Like, typically, I'd be like, hey, take care of this, like, some of my people. So I've been pretty tired taking care of people and whatnot. I had someone reach out to me from our Ranker chat about CNC stuff today. And it just kind of reminded me why I'm a part of the community. It's kind of nice to be able to help somebody. Even if it only took me a few minutes of my day to do it, it was just like, oh, yeah, totally, dude. Like, what do you got? And he asked me his couple questions and then completely satisfied with, you know, the answers he got. And he's going to press on with what, you know. What information he received, and if he gets a Shapoka 4, awesome. If he gets a Onefinity, maybe, okay, even better. But he is better informed now, and I'm hoping whatever decision he makes, he's happy with it. And then also, I'm also there to help with Shapoka things because I know Shapoka things, and so does Tim because he has
it currently. So, anybody, yeah, back in the day, he actually helped me out of a jam.
Yeah, so. At the end of the day, we're always here to help you and just continue to keep helping others. as we help you. And it'll just keep making things better and better as we go. So on that, y'all have a great night, and I'll send it over to Tim.
Thanks for joining us, folks. This is seriously 202 episodes, and I'm still around. The guys still want me, and I'm still learning, and it's been an absolute fantastic ride. I'm looking forward to more. I am not doing as much as I could be, but being a part of this, having you guys in the community, definitely keeps me driving forward to try new things and keep making and not give up. So thank you to both of you guys, and thank you to the community. Keep making stuff. Keep making that sawdust, that gosh darn lovely sawdust. Josh.
It's not lovely.
Yes, it is. It's man glitter.
It's don't a silent that away killer. From me.
Okay, it's the man, it's the a man silent killer. It's the man glitter that kills you.
On that, kidding aside, go make some sawdust. Be safe, wear a mask, use your, dust protection, try to be safe in the shop. It's very easy to not be because, PPE and masks and stuff like that, it's not comfortable. No one truly enjoys wearing them. But at the end of the day, you'd rather be wearing a mask and be able to breathe when you're older than, die because you can't breathe. So that kind of got dark there real quick. With that, let's line this up. I got what the fuck from that. hey, get in the shop, make some sawdust, have a good time, bring your kids in there, teach them what pass on the gift of knowledge. And, if you're not enjoying it, try something a little bit new. Woodworking has many aspects to it, and you don't have to be sticking to one. Try something different. Go 3 degrees to the left or right, find your path, and continue to go. So with that, you have a great night, day, evening, wherever you're at, and go make some sawdust. Sawdust Nation Podcast out.